Well, good morning. So, if you didn't know, I am not Pastor Brian. I hope you can tell the difference, because he's so much more beautiful than I am. He's going to hate me when he comes back. It's like, why do I trust you to do anything, ever? But if you don't know me, I am Pastor Nicole. I work with the youth group, so 6th through 12th grade, but I am also filling in for the children's ministry department since we've had our gap, and so I'm kind of all-encompassing children and youth. So we're doing some really exciting things here. I'm really excited. It's been really awesome. We have our children actually in our service today because it's family worship, and so they're here with us. There's a couple of them all scattered around. But it's this time again of the year. We have survived. I don't know if any of you guys, how many of you guys are excited that the holidays are over? Yes. Amen. And we can go home. Right? Yeah, the holidays are over. Seriously, go. Christmas is awesome, right? It is the time of Jesus' birth. He's our Savior. It is amazing. It is the time of baking cookies, right? We come up with ideas for presents. We get presents. We wrap presents. We give presents. We chug eggnog from the carton when our spouse isn't looking. Daniel doesn't do that. Right, and we travel. Even thinking about it makes me tired. Starts to weigh a little bit on me. But we know the real reason for the season is Jesus. But that doesn't make us any less busy on those few days that we have with family and with friends and when we spend our time together. And this busyness isn't just something that our generation has had to navigate. This isn't just something that we have just now come about. This is something that dates back hundreds of years back to the time of Jesus. You see, guys, in Jewish culture, just like Christmas and Thanksgiving, the Jewish culture still had these types of holidays that required this type of schedule, this type of busyness, this type of activity. And one of the most important holidays that they did have, and still do have, is Passover. And Passover is this huge festival that lasts about a week, that includes religious foods and rituals and songs and storytelling, and is celebrated at the beginning of the Jewish year. And as we focus today, our text, we're going to see that Jesus and his family attended this Passover every year. But to get there, they would have to travel about 80 miles. And when I say travel, I don't mean by like a car or a bus or a plane or no. This would have been like walking. So I don't know how many of you guys enjoy like running other than like maybe Avery more because he's insane. He's not here today, I don't think. And my two girls who run cross country, they're like, me. That's gross. I don't like or enjoy running, obviously. And so I don't know about you guys, but I do not want to have to walk 80 miles. That's like walking from here to Blue Springs, Missouri. So this was kind of a trek. And this would have been from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. And more often than not, people would travel in these large caravans or groups, since traveling alone was really dangerous because bandits or thieves would kind of prey on those people, those lone people that were doing this trip alone. But before we get too far into that text, I want to share with you guys a story. So because I work some weekends, I take one day off a week, and that is Thursdays. It is my day off. It is my day of rest. It is my day of relaxation. It is my day of doing a million chores because I have neglected them throughout the rest of the week. And it is also my day that I get to spend with my sweet boy and have him all to myself. So for those of you who don't know, I really mean we, Daniel and I, I didn't make him by myself, Weird. I didn't mean to go there. It's turned into a whole nother like Song of Solomon type of. And Brian's like, yeah, I'm never letting her do this again. I have a 2-year-old who is absolutely our pride and joy. He is adorable. He is funny. He is the most charismatic little boy I have ever met in my entire life. And he is also the one that can make me almost instantaneously vomit from fear. Oh my goodness. yeah, I don't know. He's insane. I am a worrier, though. I have always been like that. I don't really enjoy being a worrier, but it'll probably be with me until the day that I die. And so I end up kind of getting caught up in these moments where he drives me crazy. He's amazing. I love him. And more often than not, I hear other people say, oh, he is just the most precious thing I have ever seen. He is so adorable. He's always so, so happy. And he is. And for the most of the time, he is pretty good. And then he has these moments where you're like, oh. Because 2 years old is this magical time of them being adorable and independent. And they're so cute when they're running and like smiling and laughing, but they are also like wild banshees and like rabid dogs, jumping and running off of things that you never thought that they could get up on top of. And so it's this magical time of not knowing what to do ever. And they like completely shut off their ears. You know that they can hear because you tested them at the hospital when you left. And everybody gave you the all clear. But then they immediately shut that part off of their brain and they're like, I didn't hear. I have no idea that you told me not to do that. So this is a story. 2 weeks ago, it's a Thursday. I realized that we are out of diapers, and that is like a non-negotiable type of trip. You have to go if you do not have any more diapers in the house. So we decided we were going to go to Target. And we were going to go get, like, Christmas presents, too, because it's the beginning of this crazy season. And so we're just going to hit two birds with one stone. We go, and because my sweet boy is 2, we want to sit in the cart, but we do not want to sit in the place that's, like, safe, where their, like, legs go through and, like, hang over, and they get to, like, get clipped in and, like, be adorable and, like, pretend like they're driving. No. We do not want to sit in there. We want to sit in, like, the big area where, like, all of the things go, and you can easily, like, fall over and topple out. And so for a good, like, I won't exaggerate, but like probably easily 3 minutes of like absolute torture. If you have met my son, you would know that he is a large boy. He is like a solid 28 pounds of just baby. And so when you go to lift him above your head, maybe it's just me because like I don't run or work out anymore ever, other than lifting my child into a cart. I was just like, this is not happening. And so after 3 minutes of literally him like kicking me and like screaming me like, no! Like the wild banshee that he is, I decide it's not worth it. Like it is not worth it to have to do this. There is nothing more that Riker loves than to sit in the cart, than to walk beside me, right? Because then that's a whole nother layer of freedom. So we decide he is going to walk beside me, not run, right? Not like be crazy, to walk. You're going to walk, you're going to hold the cart, I'm going to see you, and we're going to be fine. And so we walk back to the diapers, and we get back there, and he is a size 4. So I'm like looking for the 4s. I see one. There is only one. It's like all the way in the back. So I like kind of crawl back there and realize like there's like a huge slash down the side. I'm like, oh no. Are these diapers going to be okay? Like, should I like peek in? Are people going to be weird if I'm like tearing this box open to make sure diapers are okay? And like, while I'm in diaper land, Riker decides that this is the perfect opportunity to initiate hide and seek. So I resume my parenting activities. I look down and say, Rai, do you want to go? Whoa. And like in that moment, like even thinking about it now, either, I don't know if it's because I'm wearing like a sweater, but like I start to sweat, right? And it's that moment where you're just like, oh my gosh. And like you get chills on the back of your neck, you start to sweat, your stomach hurts. And the first thing I can think of is like, is anybody going to stop him if he runs outside of the doors, like the big doors? Like, are Target people going to notice like a two-year-old just running like a wild banshee? Or is he going to scream if somebody picks him up that isn't me? Like, and these are all of the things while I'm like profusely sweating, I realize I need to go. I need to get him wherever he is. Like, I have to make a sacrifice. Do I take the bag with all of the things in my purse, or do I take the child? And it's like, oh, okay, fine, I'll take the child. So I leave, like, my stuff, and I walk around to the athletic section. And I, like, my fear is that I'm not going to be able to find him. But then I hear it, right? Oh, he's so adorable. Look how cute he is. Oh my gosh, I want one. Right? There's these two girls, and I hear them, and I'm like, yeah, that's mine. That's got to be mine. I've heard that way too many times for that not to be mine. So I go around, and as soon as he sees me, he goes, like he's crouching, right? His hands are together, his feet are together, and he just smiles at me. And I was like, ooh. And I got closer. And then he goes, ta-da. And like the two girls melted, and I instantly burst into flames. And I was like, no, right? Because I'm profusely sweating. I thought you were dead or like out in the street or out and about. And so, yeah. Parenting is hard and taxing and stressful, and if anybody ever tells you that it's not, they are lying, like absolutely lying. So really, the only silver lining in this story, other than that Riker is okay, is that I know, like I am 99% sure that I am not the only one who has ever experienced one of these moments, right? Whether that be at the park, or in the mall, or at a store, or maybe it's at your home, maybe it's with your kids, maybe it's with other people's kids, I don't know. But it's ranging anywhere from like a few seconds of like losing them to maybe a few days. And you guys are like, wait, what? You lost Riker? No, it's not me. Not this time. I forgot to tell you that, yeah, Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for a few days. It's no big deal. So this is how the story goes. I'm going to put the text on the screen, so if you guys want to, it's from Luke 2, 41 through 52, but I'm not going to read it word for word because it's very long. And so I'm going to kind of elaborate. I kind of want to take a little bit of creative freedom because I know what it's like to experience loss. So if you guys want to, you can follow along, but I'm going to elaborate a little bit. So every year, Jesus would see his family start to pack their bags, right? Joseph would gather all of the animals together. He got the family donkey and he hitched it up to the cart. Mary was in the kitchen making bread, getting food together. Jesus knew, he knew that his mother would want several things done to the house before they could leave. So he, in fact, already had swept the floor as fast as he could and he tidied everything up so that they could get going, right? Let's get on the road, he said to his parents, and he's just like beaming with excitement. So they gathered their supplies and they left home, and there were already so many people that were on this tiny road that was leading out of Nazareth. And everyone was on this same journey to Passover, right? Everyone was chipper, and the closer that you got to Jerusalem, the more people that were on the road, right? They approached the gates of Jerusalem, and there was this crowd. That's where it was at its thickest, when everybody was funneling into this this gated area. And the streets were alive with people, right? There was innkeepers that were yelling about rooms that they still had available. There was people that were haggling the prices of goods. There was beggars that were strewn about, scattered everywhere, that there was room available. There was animals everywhere that there weren't people. People that were getting ready, and you could feel the tension and the excitement and the stress in the air as people were trying to get settled for the next couple of days, as they were trying to get in place. And after this festival was over, everyone packed up all of their belongings to head back home. And Jesus decides, I'm going to head to the temple. And it wasn't hard to find because everything else was so much smaller. The temple stood out in the middle of the city on top of this hill. It was hard to miss because it was so much taller than everything else. And as soon as he got to the front of the temple, he went inside and he took in the beauty of the walls, the elaborate decorations, when he noticed out of the corner of his eye a group of men sitting in the corner talking to one another. So he walked over and he sat down just close enough, right, to hear what they were saying. One man stood up and he said, what are we going to do with that group of cripples who keep sitting up, like, just outside of the temple on the Sabbath, and they're begging, and it's starting to become a problem, right? Is it right for them to be there on our day of rest? And while Jesus was captivated by these men talking about the desire and the need of God for his people, Mary and Joseph had loaded all of the belongings into the cart, right? And the women and children had headed out first, and the men followed behind them to make sure that they were protected. So Mary found herself reminiscing when Jesus was little. Oh, what a great and awful time. So much has changed since he was that little baby laying in a manger. He is 12 now, and next year, he's going to be a man. Joseph talked, and he walked along some of the neighbor men, and they joked as they walked. They joked as they talked. But they were still keeping an eye out for that danger. And after a full day walk, Joseph went to look for Mary. Pretty soon he found her, and he made eye contact with her, and she motioned him over, smiled, and waved. And he asked, oh, how was your trip? It was good. Mary said, you know, how was Joseph? Was he a good helper? No. What do you mean? I thought you had him. No. No, I thought he was with you. Okay, Mary, don't panic. I'm sure that he's just with, you know, the uncles over there or the children. Why don't we just start asking around to see if anybody has seen him? It's no big deal. I'm sure he's here. After a day of searching, Mary was at the breaking point, right? Tears started to stream down her face. We've lost him, she cries. Okay. So he's not here. No one saw him leave with the caravan. So if he's not here and he's not with them, he has to be at Jerusalem. He has to be back there. I mean, there's no other place for him to be, right? So we'll just leave the donkey. We'll leave the supplies. We'll leave everything with Uncle Joe. And we'll hurry back. We'll hurry back really, really quickly. It was getting dark. Jesus had spent all day, yesterday and today, with the men of the temple getting closer and closer into the circle until one man said, you, what's your name? Come on over here. Sit in the group. Jesus gladly hopped up and he joined them. And he began to comment and talk about the ways that God would want us to live. And the men were astonished at his understanding of the law and of the scriptures. And all of a sudden he hears it. Jesus! Mary cries. And he sees her coming to the temple, her face flush, tears marked with dust on her cheek, Joseph right behind her, jaw clenched. Mary rushed over and picked him up and flung her arms around him. Son, why have you treated us like this? Jesus looked at Mary, at her concerned eyes, and said, didn't you know that I had to be here? Here with my Father, being about his business? What are you talking about? Mary and Joseph didn't understand. We need to get back now. Let's go. Jesus looked at the rest of the group. He thanked them, and then he left with his mother and father back to Nazareth, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. What an interesting story. What an interesting story from Jesus's childhood, which is actually like one of the only real recorded history or stories in history of Jesus, like in his youth. But I think that it has significance for us if we dig just a little bit deeper into the text. So one of the first things that I notice when reading this story is that Mary and Joseph were involved in their community, right? And as a community, the group knew that it was dangerous to walk the roads alone. And I find that really interesting because this passage doesn't necessarily like scream out and say like, this is what I'm about. But there is a theme that is in here that I think that we can pull from this. And this is perfect illustration that Jesus even modeled. And it's that you have to be present with one another. In this life, there is going to be hardship. There is going to be thieves in the night that come to steal and to kill and to destroy our hope and our joy and our peace. But there is safety in numbers. Right? There is security in being with one another. Isolation can be detrimental to us. And this is why we promote things like community group. Being able to walk alongside one another is crucial. And I can tell you that being here in this room right now is important. With the world that we live in today, with all of the busyness and all of the demands of life, having relationships with people is so important. And you need space to be able to make that kind of connection and to cultivate those kinds of relationships. So that's why showing up, that's why being involved, that's why being here is so critical and so important. And I need you to hear me on this, that it isn't about having acquaintances or saying good morning or having a bunch of people at your work that you know of and that they know of you. I'm talking about having somebody who knows you deeply. Jesus was constantly surrounded by people. He constantly had a crowd of individuals around him. But he had his 12, right? And even then, in his 12, he had a select few that were his closest of friends, the people that knew him deeper than anybody else knew him. Being close in relationships within the community of believers allows us to see Christ in one another and to experience compassion and to experience encouragement that gives us the strength and the courage to say, yeah, I'm going to keep going. Yeah, I'm fueled up. It's also a source of accountability. It's a source of accountability with others. It can allow us and even force us to grow in our Christian lives. And it gives us the opportunity to serve one another. When you isolate, you strip that opportunity for you to serve other people, but also for people to serve you. And there is joy and there is growth that comes from being and of serving. So we just experienced, right, this crazy time of year with Christmas, and I know it's fresh, so on everybody's mind, this is what we're thinking, but there are so many things that fight for our attention, right? Our work, our school, our kids, our spouses, with all of the noise, sometimes it's hard to find time for ourselves, let alone time for God. But Jesus does something in verse 49 that we kind of need to revisit. So it says, and he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And the Greek word that Luke uses here for must indicates that it was necessary or inevitable, right? He had to be there. Jesus' mission was clear. Is this how we approach God's mission in our life? Is this a must or is it optional? Because Jesus wants us to remember to prioritize God and his mission. Jesus reminds us that we all have a heavenly Father that not only yearns for that kind of relationship with us, but is also calling us into building his kingdom here on earth. And I'm not saying that you need to make God your first and only priority, which I know some of you are like, that's heresy. What I am saying is that I have spent time where I thought that I needed to make God my first priority. Maybe it looked like doing a devotional for, I don't know, 2 hours a day. Maybe it was praying for 4. Maybe it was going on a mission trip. Maybe it was serving in the rescue mission. And that is all wonderful, good things to do for Christ. But then what about the rest of my priorities, right, that I've neglected now, that I have to hurry through and do and get distracted with, and I have only scheduled God those 2 hours. The rest of my priorities don't include him. Those are mine. But I'm telling you, making God your first priority doesn't really help you if you leave him out of the rest of your life. What I'm telling you is to make your priorities include God in every single aspect. What could we be doing? Well, how would our life change? What would we look like if God was involved in every single one of priorities and every single part of our life? If we didn't categorize him only into these 2 hours here or this 10 minutes here or this time here, what would it look like if he was included in every area, in all walk of our daily lives, in every priority, not just the first and only one? I want God to be a part of my entire list. We need to stop thinking that this one time of day is God's and the rest is mine and all the other things on the list are things that I need to do. Rather, we need to be partnering with him in everything and glorifying him through it all. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Lastly, this passage of scripture spoke to me in a way that I think a lot of us struggle with once we become a Christian, and that it's sometimes Jesus isn't where we expect him to be. Mary expected Jesus to be with somebody else in the group, but instead he was somewhere completely different. Sometimes things happen in our life that take our breath away. Things like cancer, job loss, death of somebody that we loved and cared for. And we're left saying, "Jesus, I thought you were here." I thought you were with me. I thought you were beside me. I thought you were making things right before me. And it feels like you have abandoned me. You've left us. We're terrified and we're angry because we can't find him. But it's not because he isn't there. It's that we're looking in the wrong places. And I can't tell you why something happens, other than that we live in a broken world with broken people. But I can tell you the one thing that you can bank on is that Jesus has and will never leave you. He might be somewhere you aren't expecting him to be. So Jesus is telling us to prepare ourselves. Prepare yourself to not always have the answer. To not always know exactly where Jesus is in every moment, in every second of your life. But take comfort in the knowledge that he hasn't left. Kids, don't think that I have forgot. You guys are still in here. This is Family Sunday, and I can see that you guys are still hanging in with us. You got your bags. Jesus has something very important to say to you. Jesus is the Son of God, right? A king worthy of praise and honor and glory. And he came down from heaven as a baby to Mary, his mother, and Joseph, his father. When Jesus goes to the temple, eventually Mary and Joseph find him. Mary's upset, remember, and it says in verse 51, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Children, listen to your parents. Jesus was the Son of God. And he grew in grace and in knowledge when he said yes to his parents. And if any of you want to say that you're better than Jesus so that you don't have to listen or to obey to your parents, I will go toe to toe with you outside. But really, the God of the universe became better because he listened and was obedient to his parents or his guardians. Your parents are way smarter than you give them credit for. I would know. I had to do that. There was a moment where I had to go home and tell my mom, I am so sorry. All the things that I thought you didn't know, you knew. And I continuously have to do that. And she pretends that she didn't hear me, and then I have to say it again. They are there to protect you and to care for you, to not make your life miserable, right, or lead you into trouble. The most important people that we could have in our lives could be our parents. They can be the greatest guides that we have in life that can lead us to the path that God has for us if we let them. So I hope you guys enjoyed spending some time with me this morning and walking through this story and seeing all of the crazy and different ways that Scripture can impact our lives today. I hope you take some time through this crazy season to kind of settle and find God in the unexpected ways. I hope that you include him in every part of your life, not just the scheduled times that you have carved out for him. I hope your priorities include every aspect of him, and every aspect of your priorities. I pray that you would find connection here at Fairlawn, that you would have deep relationships, maybe not with everybody, but with a few. And I hope that you could begin to live life in a way that you have never experienced before. So we're going to bow our heads really quick, and I will pray for you, and then I will dismiss you guys to head on out. God, we thank you for this time. Again, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, to learn more about you and to what you have called us to be and called us to be for each other. God, I thank you that I don't have to be perfect. I thank you that I don't have to be a perfect mother, that I don't have to be a perfect wife. And God, that you are actively working in me and shaping me and molding me, not only through a relationship with you, but through the relationship of other people, because we are connected to one another. God, I thank you for each and every one of them that are here today. And I pray that they would have a burden on their heart for you, that they would yearn to be in relationship with you and with one another. And God, I pray that they would prioritize you in every aspect of their life, not just scheduled time, but God, in their nap time, in the time that they don't see you or expect you, to know that you are there. And we pray this in your name. Amen. All right, why don't you guys go in the grace of God and have a wonderful rest of your weekend.